Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, to the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food production and food consumption. It's a Red Shirt Friday. Coming to us from Thayer County, Nebraska, Gary Aksamit, welcome back to the program. We got a little technical difficulty here. With us, Gary.
Yes, I am. Can you see me?
You're flip your phone. You're sideways. There you go. Just that's perfect. How you been?
I'm so sorry, Trent.
No worries. We're here now. It's all good.
Cool.
You've been kind of AWOL. You okay?
Yeah. Went to Europe for a couple weeks and, learned a lot about falling in love again, I guess. So.
Oh, it seems like romance might be in the air.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
So, funny thing is, I didn't ask you to join today to talk about romance. I got a question that I just asked my partner in the UK, mm-hmm. because they're experiencing the same thing, and I think this will get us on the path of what we should talk about today. Mm-hmm. It was announced this week that Summit Carbon Solutions has rerouted their CO2 pipeline intentions. They want to include the four ethanol plants in Northeast Nebraska that have been left out previously. Mm-hmm. And my question is this: when AOC comes out with a new Green Deal, every person who pretends to be or thinks they're a conservative or a Republican is like, oh my goodness, that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And Gary, today, all of the principles behind what AOC was talking about in terms of supporting a new Green Deal are being promoted by the people who have an R behind their name. For example, in the state of Nebraska, there is no local control for a CO2 pipeline because Mike Flood, then a state senator, now the U.S. congressman from District 2 in Nebraska, was championing that we need this CO2 pipeline. And I found Pete Ricketts in 2021 championing all of these green tax credits. How do the people who at one point in time just ridicule AOC now embrace everything that the left has been talking about in terms of green deals?
He dropped out.
Okay, Gary is having some technical issues, but that truly is the question and the concept of the day. And I'll attempt to answer my own question while Gary is getting his technology figured out, and we'll be back. But I'm actually perplexed by this whole scenario. And for those that might have missed it, CO2 pipelines are dangerous. They literally, and to that point, I just remind people simply that pig, turkey, and chicken, new plants, have CO2 chambers, and at 7%, in 30 seconds, they put these animals to sleep. And we're putting these next to communities, we're putting them next to schools, we're putting them next to villages, and I don't understand why we go along with it. Gary, it looks like you got everything lined out there now. How are you?
I am so sorry. I had to get to a newer version of an iPhone. I was using a different phone. That was my fault. Sorry about that.
Did you hear my question?
Yes, I did. So it's interesting. I mean, I get it. Look, every time I turn around, it seems like we're putting human life in conflict with industry. I don't care where we turn around. But more importantly, when you talk about the quality of the food, is that what we're going for here, or is it more a conversation around the impacts on the community? Which is the question that you're going for?
I'm trying to figure out why people who would bash subsidies and more government intervention are now the ones who are promoting it and enabling it through acting to give tax credits for what are so very clearly new Green Deal projects.
Well, let's go another step backwards. This was my conservative litmus test that I threw at the Nebraska legislature 10 years ago when I called for unbundled billing and privatization of utility business. And I saw so-called conservatives just hair on fire. We can't do that. We can't do that. We can't privatize Nebraska public power. Well, guess what? Electricity rates are going up like crazy. We're building data centers everywhere. My point is, I don't think there are any conservatives left, Trent. I don't. I think I think it is. No, I was a lobbyist in D.C. I know how this game is played, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you. It's all about the lobby. Okay, there are no conservatives because they are scared to death of Miriam Adelson. I'll just say it. They're scared to death of Miriam Adelson. It's whatever Marion Adelson, who's the guy that owns Cisco? I can see his face, can't think of his name, Steve Wynn, whatever those people want, I don't even care if it's at the county level or the state level, they're going to make it happen. There are no conservatives, Trent. There are no conservatives. We're just going to keep spending until it's all spent. I'm sorry, that's just the reality.
We're $40 trillion in debt. At what point do we say it's all spent?
I wouldn't be surprised if 10 years from now we're $100 trillion in debt. I really wouldn't.
But I'd like you to speak to this, because what comes along with our nation's debt, and we often say, my grandkids are going to be stuck with this debt. No, that's not at all how it's going to happen. Because as the debt of the United States government continues to go up, what happens? They funnel more money into projects to eliminate your and my ability to own property. That's
because
where we're at.
It's fear. And I don't know whether you read one of my latest Facebook posts, but I talk about this in that post, is that it's fear. They know that this is out of control. They know that there's no way of putting the genie back in the bottle. So what's the end result is late democracy and late capitalism. They have to control it. They have to control everything. They have to control everything so they can control the consumerism, so they can control the taxes. They have to control it all. That's the only way we can keep this machine spinning.
So this is a Nebraska issue, but it's relevant in every state. I put a lot of time behind a tremendous choice in the name of David Hibner, 13-year Border Patrol, just as conservative as they come. This guy needed to be in the U.S. House, District 3, replacing Adrian Smith, who is now the establishment, 20 years. He's voted for bigger government every time. And we got out and about, and District 3, Gary, as you know, but I'm letting everybody else know, in a state that has 93 counties, District 3 is 80 counties. It's part of 80 counties. David got to every county. David did an amazing job. People, there was so much momentum. And when the results come back, 65% of the people voted for what we already had, and 35% voted for a conservative voice that could have at least gone there and said, hey, this isn't right. And you know what everybody tells me is the reason that they just couldn't vote for David Hibner is because they say, well, you know, I like David, but Adrian's now worked himself into a position on Ways and Means where he has some power and some legitimate. This is what you were telling me we need to get rid of, that we have these establishment people that are doing nothing but making government bigger. And now you voted for him because he is in that position.
Yes, and his personal wealth continues to climb exponentially because of access.
We got to talk about solutions. What are the solutions?
I hope this doesn't come across as just being blatantly cynical for your audience, but I'm not gambling on this. I put my life on the line for 30 years trying to build something, and I ran into just toxicity every corner. And I'm sorry, but we live in such a dysfunctional, manipulated culture, financial culture right now. I'm not gambling on this. If you think oil is $100 a barrel, you're crazy. If you think that, you know, the stock market at these levels is normal, you're crazy. This is all being done with Miriam Adelson's money. Okay? This is your Secretary of your Treasury and Miriam Adelson's money manipulating our economy. I'm not gambling on something where I need a lobbyist in order to defend my financial position. And that's basically what they've done. They've turned this into a daddy complex, a daddy system, where if you want to make money, you've got to go pay the piper. You've got to have a lobbyist. You've got to know what's happening inside that Oval Office every day in order to protect your money. I'm not interested in that.
Gary Aksemit, my guest. He's joining us on a Red Shirt Friday. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more after this. Right off the bat today, Tracer Minerals is on my mind, and I think that all of us need to pay attention to what's going on. Chelated minerals are the key. How about that? Chelated minerals are more readily available. They get into the system, and you need to have a supplier, vitamins and minerals, that understands efficiency, reproduction, and overall health. Tracer Minerals gets that job done well. More details about the Tracer Mineral Advantage on the web, tracerminerals.com. Many products do contain the Tracer Minerals. You might want to check into that. Or just put the free mineral out, and you'll see exactly how the consumption is exact what it should be. Don't forget to mix a little salt in there. tracerminerals.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis, Gary Aksemit joining us. Are the Nebraska Cornhusker softball women going to win the national title this year, Gary?
I don't know. I don't follow it. So
they're ranked number two, and the first series game is tonight. So, you know, the bread and circuses starts tonight for some of us.
The bread and circus. I love that.
Well, it's all about food and entertainment, right? I mean, that's a whole new concept. I just created that. It's never been talked about before.
So what's the next topic we're going to hit, my friend?
You pick. You tell me. But I'm not buying that you're not gambling on this, because you're still posting. You're still willing to join me. So you know there's a hope.
I'm trying to lead the other 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Not the rich 1%. I'm trying to lead the 1% that thinks for themselves. That's all I'm trying to do. And I try not to. I have this crazy thing about being self-conscious of putting pictures of me out on social media and stuff like that. And so I end up posting things in metaphorical cadence, if you will, where I hope there are people that can read between the lines, because I mean, Sebastian Gorka came out yesterday or the day before and said he's going to crack down on anybody in the United States that has anything bad to say about the military and the Jewish lobby. And so I know they're watching me, Trent. I mean, 3-4 weeks ago, I posted on Facebook a very candid question. I said, how is it that the United States Air Force and the United States Navy took such unbelievable beatings in the first couple of weeks of this Iranian conflict, and we only have 13 people dead and maybe a couple dozen that are wounded? You mean to tell me everybody on those ships just happened to be at the other end of the ship when they were like, nope, we got to go. We got to get the other end of the ship. There's a bomb coming. No, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. Here's another one that blows my mind. So when I got back to the United States on Sunday night, on social media, everybody was talking about the hantavirus. And by the way, Europe is in a whole different mindset about the hantavirus. I mean, I had to go through a biometric center at Heathrow that was separate from immigration, where I had to give them a picture of my driver's license, my passport, my phone number, my home address. I had to give them all of that. I mean, they're already tracking and tracing on this thing. I come to the United States the first day or so on Monday. There was a bunch of posts about the virus, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. I'm sorry, but I'm going to think for myself. I don't care if people think that I'm tinfoil hat and crazy, but I'm going to think for myself, and I'm going to make decisions for myself. And you ask about, I'm not completely disconnected from investing. But I'm investing in things that go up when this thing goes bad. And that's Bitcoin and gold and silver.
Mm-hmm. For the record, not everybody talked about the hantavirus, because I haven't talked about it yet. But okay. I did go beyond what they're talking about and look at what's happening with alpha-gal syndrome. And I've spent a tremendous amount of time this week on Lone Star ticks. And the mm-hmm. amount of ticks that are showing up, and what happens when you get bitten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're on borrowed time. One of these diseases is going to connect. And when it does, it's going to ravage our society. Look, I'm a true libertarian. I don't care whether you got this COVID jab or whether you didn't get the COVID jab. It's none of my business. That's your personal choice. That's your life. That's how I see the world. That's how my dad raised me. But the problem that I saw with COVID is that I made a prediction as soon as COVID was starting to go away. I said, the next time there's a serious pandemic, we'll kill several billion people because nobody knows what to believe anymore. I mean, it's nuts. You can log into Twitter and Facebook and you can see an opinion on every topic from the one extreme to the other. And so, yeah, I'm an army of one. I'm a sovereign citizen. I'm going to think for myself. I'm going to do what I have to do in order to survive this.
What, you know, I threw out bread and circuses, obviously to be somewhat entertaining, because that's about entertainment. We will, in this house, follow Nebraska softball because we have a softball family, and Jordy Ball and Rhonda Ravel have been amazing. But it's amazing how many things circle back. Life is cyclical. Yep. Romans talked about bread and circuses. Yep. Mark Twain, who just becomes more profound every day. I grew up 10 miles from Mark Twain's boyhood home, so he was just like a local guy, really. And now, you know, you go look at Mark Twain quotes, and I told somebody the other day, because they said, I just can't see the newspaper, so I don't know what's going on anymore. His sight's bad. And I said, well, you know what, Butch? Mark Twain said that if you read the newspaper, if you don't read the newspaper, you're ignorant. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And Mark Twain also said that it is easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. Oh, yes. Boy, are we living that?
Yes. And this is the problem that we're dealing with, is that recency biases, limiting beliefs. It's hard to admit that you're wrong. Okay, but I want to tell you something. Being a trader on the Kansas City Board of Trade and the Chicago Board of Options Exchange taught me how to admit you're wrong. I mean, you put on a trade. If it goes against you, you get out. You put on another trade. You learn to admit that you're wrong. But most people have a really, really hard time with admitting that they're wrong. And I don't care whether it's an election. I don't care whether it's, you know, financial decisions. People have a hard time. And that's why people project. That's why people blame. It's you know, I didn't do it. He did it to me. No, you made the choice. You bought an X9 John Deere combine that you probably didn't need. So don't come bitching to me about going broke, because, you know, your 680 would have done just fine, but your ego wanted to have an X9. But then everybody's a victim. And I don't play the victim game, my friend. I don't play it. You know,
For whatever reason, well, the reason is farmers are, they're not filing bankruptcy at the level they could, because the bank is telling them, you're not filing bankruptcy. You're just selling out. You're just going to get out.
Yeah. They call them retirement sales.
Correct. That's exactly what they call them. And if you look at the amount of equipment that is available for sale, in terms of tractors and combines and grain carts and all the, they should farm 10,000 acres, and it turns out they farm 2,000. It's like, how come you didn't see this coming? Why are you so overspent on all of these equipment needs? And I think John Deere is responsible for most of that, to be honest, other than we just don't use our own discernment.
John Deere is like a crack dealer. They just sell and sell and sell it. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad had a theory that he would tell farmers. He'd say, if you're not putting 500 hours a year on a tractor, you don't need to own it. Where I'm sitting right now in Bruning, Nebraska, there's a machine shed about a mile from me right now that has an MX, I don't know these numbers, a 350 or whatever Case IH tractor hooked onto a 24-row planter, and that's all that tractor does. And he farms, I think, 6 or 8 quarters. No. We used to farm 2,000 acres with a 4430, a 4640, and a 4020. We were on a tractor from the time the sun come up until the time the sun went down. We were professional farmers. That was our job. I don't understand this. This is whatever.
Yeah, and the big difference there is that you started planting the minute the ground temperature was okay, maybe a little bit before, because we got to get it in there. Today, they wait, and 3 days later, you look around, and it's like, oh my goodness, there's 12 sections just been planted of corn. It just happens like this.
Yes, they pull into a half section with three or four 24-row planters, and 4 or 5 hours later, they're gone.
Yep. Speaking of being gone, we're gone from segment two. We'll be back with a sec. We're going to come back. We're not leaving segment second half of a Redshirt Friday Roll Route Gary XM at Trent Luce after this. Why do you think we have 17 Proud of the Farm energy free waterers? Because they work. And we've had them dating back 20 years. Not all of them added to them, but the last one was the 4-hole cow water, which, by the way, 4 holes of water, 100 cows. More details about the blue box that's energy free, working for me, on the website at prideofthefarm.com. It is the Pride of the Farm blue box. The insulation in this thing is absolutely incredible, and that's twofold. Keeps it cool, keeps it warm. It does not keep it warm, keeps it liquid, capturing Earth's temperature. More details on the website. Since 1922, the big blue box is energy free for me and you. More details. I'm trying to find some rhyme in there that works, right? You tell me what it should be. Go to the website. Check out how this company has remained committed to American made and works with farmers every day. Prideofthefarm.com on the web. Prideofthefarm.com. National Western 2027. January is coming. We are the West. Details on the website, nationalwestern.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Gary Axumit joining us. Are you in charge of complaints for Thayer County businesses? Because I got one.
No.
Kelly and I were coming home from Oklahoma State's graduation Saturday, and I do this a lot, whether it's good or bad. I'm on the road. I don't stop to eat. And that mm-hmm. little gas station right there across from the community center in Hebron has yep. good food in there.
Yeah.
And they don't cook anything on Saturday and Sunday because the people feel like they're overworked on Monday through Friday. So Saturday, you can't buy food. Well, you can buy junk food, but you can't buy yep. grill food. I'm lodging a complaint. I think you should take care of that.
For about 3 or 4 days out of the week here, I don't know whether you can get a sit-down meal in Thayer County. Okay, so like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't know whether you can get a sit-down meal at night in this county. We've just decimated our population. I mean, there's a stretch of road on the north side of Alexandria called Highway 53. Mm-hmm. And it goes to Highway 4. And most people probably wouldn't even know there's a town down in the river there, but that's kind of where I grew up. Going on that 5 miles north of town, when I was a little kid, there was a farm on every quarter section on both sides of the road, and their last name was Sin, S-I-N-N. There isn't a Sin left in the phone book. What do you expect's going to happen?
What led to that? What's the recipe that we allowed that to happen?
I once again, I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but leaving the gold standard just screwed us. Mm-hmm. It turned us into a rat race because you know, Earl Butts, get bigger, bigger is better. It couldn't have been a worse recipe for rural America because now it's just an arms race, you know. Even as bad as things have been these past couple of years, every time I'm back here, a couple of neighbors stop over and tell me about pieces of farm ground that have rented or sold. And I'm just like, what calculator are these people even using? But see, they're in an arms race. They've got a cost per acre issue. They don't own any equipment. They're making lease payments on everything. So they've got a cost per acre issue. They need to rent more ground in order to bring their cost per acre down on their planting, harvesting, and everything else. So it's an arms race. It's just that simple. I wouldn't want, there's two farmers in this area that farm over 100 quarters apiece. And I'm not going to say their names, but I'm sure anybody who's from this area knows who I'm talking about.
Right.
Forget it. I don't want anything to do with that.
I take very seriously your statement about 3 to 4 days a week in Thayer County, you can't have a sit down meal in the evening.
Yep.
Loup City, Nebraska, where you've been at one point in time.
Yep.
When I first came to Loup City, which would have been December of 1992, there were four very active bars, a couple of restaurants, and I mean, for a town of 1,000, it's 1,000 people, but honestly, Loup City was then and still at some point is fed by people coming to Sherman Reservoir, a big lake up on top of the hill. But yep. There's a bar. You can still go to a bar. They close pretty early. It's just not what it was. And there's still two places to get a sit down meal. And that's 7 days a week. But this is a real issue because all the neighboring little towns, you can't do that.
No.
And I think that's a big thing in the quality of life and why kids don't stay around, to be honest.
It is, because why would you? I mean, you would have to love this life to the point where you're willing to give up a lot of the creature comforts of your life. And I respect that. I know a lot of young people that have stayed. I mean, I got some buddies over in Chicley, Davenport area, young guys in their 30s, and they're trying. And I respect them for trying. And I see them pull into the corner store out here on the Highway 81, you know where I'm talking about, at Bruning, and the Tahoe is stacked full of kids. We actually have a baby boom in Bruning right now. Believe it or not, they're adding on to the daycare center in Bruning because we've had such a baby boom in the past 5 years in this community. I respect the people that hold on. I will tell your viewers, if you want to buy some really good meat, go to the grocery store in Bruning, Nebraska. It's a family-owned place. The son stayed around, and they've done a really great job of taking care of things. But that's unique. That's rare. Okay, that's an outlier. The thing that I'm more worried about is losing hospitals, because if a community loses their hospital, you know, there was always the old chronological order of death nails. You lose your high school, you lose your bank, your town is dead. That's Alexandria, Nebraska personified. Bank went closed in 1986. That was it. Turn off the lights. It's over. But if a community loses their hospital, Trent, there's no economic development at that point. And people don't think about that. You cannot tell a company, hey, come to my community. We want you to build a facility here, when you've got to ship somebody that's hurt 45 minutes to Superior or Fairbury or Beatrice or York. I mean, Geneva has an amazing hospital. Thank the Lord for that. But the point is, I don't think a lot of these rural counties realize it. The overall viability of these communities is on the brink.
You wore a conspiracy cap for a little bit. I'll wear it now. The problem that we have with government incentivized economic development, which I have no place for. Government does not have a role in doing economic development, issuing grants or any of that. But what you just walked through is why local policymakers, i.e. county commissioners, planning and zoning, are willing to jump at anything that appears to bring a few coins into the county without thinking about the long-term repercussions, because we've been in this economic drought in rural areas, which again was induced by government policies. And now people are saying, oh, AI data center, yeah, that sounds like a good idea, without stopping to think about what's the real impact of quality of life and how is this going to bring about long-term economic development, which it doesn't. But that leads us into that whole discussion and mindset that we got to do something.
And once again, I'm going to get off on my soapbox here. I'm 56 years old. Throughout my life, I've learned a lot. And I when I was in my 20s, I didn't understand why Wall Street wouldn't give me money. Now that I'm in my 50s, I don't even have to have my shingle hung out, and I get emails from people wanting to know if I want to build a business with them. Why? It's gray hair. So let me explain this to you. I have a theory that pretty much everything in life can be rendered down to the Myers-Briggs personality test. The difference between a sensory extroverted personality type and myself, who is an introverted intuitive personality type, I sat here and I look, like you said, I call it the bouncing ball. I work through a process of pluses and minuses on anything that I'm doing. I look at what's going on in rural communities and I do the same thing. I bounce through this and I go, okay, what's the pluses and the minuses? What's the downside in the long term? And Trent, as this is part of the reason why I had to just disconnect from my previous life and why I just live in a really small little bubble when I'm back here in Bruning, is because it's so hard on my mental health to try to have conversations, intelligent conversations, because I get so frustrated, my head just explodes. But listen, we've got a water problem, Trent. We have a major Ogallala Aquifer water problem. And if we don't wake up, we're going to absolutely screw the pooch, as my dad used to say. We're going to regret trading data centers for agriculture. I'm sorry, it's just that plain and simple. And the sad part about it is, Trent, boy, you probably know some of the NRD guys that I used to lock horns with 10 years ago. Man, I used to tell them, I'd say, gentlemen, the only time something is worth something is if there's a price on it. And I'm sorry, farmers are going to have to put a price on water. If they don't put a price on water, it's going to go away because somebody's just going to come in here and take it for free. But I've been preaching in the choir about this for 15 years. Ever since 2012, when that drought hit the Platte River Valley in 2012, and I saw four-wheeler tracks up and down the sandbars, I went, oh my God, what are we doing? What are we doing to this state?
I'm going to implicate myself in this statement as well. We have too many people that pay attention to what happens in Lincoln and don't give equal attention to what happens with all of the National Resource Districts, the NRDs, and the NPPD, Nebraska Public Power District co-op meetings.
Yep.
Those two entities are allowing our resources to be exploited and taken out of here, and we're not really paying attention to it. Have you been to the buildings that these NRDs now have moved into in every district? What's that?
And how about the buildings that these REAs are in?
100%.
I mean, these are compounds with chain link fence and razor wire around the top of the fence. And I'm looking at this going, how does this even pencil out? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. We have allowed our human ego to get the best of us. And back to the NPPD thing, and boy, I'm going to have to look around here and probably wear a flak jacket because I haven't poked at NPPD in 10 years. I poked at them so bad, they about lost their minds. I mean, they had that NPPD jet fueled up and ready for any time Gary Aksamit went to an NRD meeting. They were there the next day to tell the NRD managers, Gary Aksamit's full of it. Gary Aksamit's lying. But here's a problem that I have with rural economic development in Nebraska. Every rural economic development organization in this state, their website is run by NPPD. Go look at them. Pull up the economic development websites and go down to the bottom, and you'll see a nice little blue NPPD label down there.
That's because they give little pittance of money and control every single project that happens in these rural areas that don't understand they're being controlled. Gary, we got one segment left. It's going fast. We'll be back with that after this. Cardiovascular health is dependent upon the right level of nitrate in your system. Get more details on the website, N101.com, N101.com. TL10 is the coupon code, and this is 100% about making sure your body functions and we have circulation to all parts of the body. That is key and why you need nitric oxide. N101.com, N101.com. TL10 is your coupon code. Don't forget about the most tender beef on the planet. That is certified Piedmontese. I also found goodlifene.com. There's some tremendous, I don't know the difference. What is, they're all, it's all certified Piedmontese. It's the same company. We are all doing this.
Check out, compare the options yourself at cpbeef.com and then goodlifene.com. Let me know what you see in terms of the difference. It's tender every time.
Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Red Shirt Friday. May's half over, Gary X. Emmett.
I know. I'm heading back over to Europe on the 1st of June. I can't wait for the next 2 weeks to go away.
Don't wish your life away.
Yeah, exactly.
I just got a text from a friend who said that he has on good authority that the pension plans for retired MPPD folks are $250,000. You know anything about that?
I don't know if it's that dollar figure, but I can tell you that, how do I say this without, boy, I got to be careful. I don't want to pick a fight. I can tell you that one of the biggest pension earners in Heber, Nebraska is a former Public Power employee, above and beyond even the banker and other people in town. I mean, he's living large.
So here's why this is a good discussion, no matter what state you're in. Nebraska is 100% served by co-op electric power. And the only state in the nation that has 100% co-op. So that means that as a user, I'm a partial owner. And yet, I feel like we have zero say. And just as a reminder, George Soros funded six people to take over that board. I think it was 2020 or 2021, maybe you remember. That's when they started spouting off and droning on about net carbon zero.
Yep.
We need to stand up. We just can't sit by and let that public power continue to run away with our resources.
So what was the guy that used to be on MSNBC from North Dakota, the great big husky guy, and he passed away from cancer about 10 years ago. What was his name? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But it's
not coming to me. Maybe Luke can help.
But he, along with that group that you're talking about, came after me with guns blazing. I mean, they called me out on MSNBC, not by name, but they talked about what I was trying to do in Nebraska. It was like, this is a battle line that we're going to die on. And I was like, holy cow, people. But here's the thing, Trent, you said you don't have any say in this matter. I want to tell you what you don't have any say in the matter. So during my FOIA request, one of the things that we wanted was a copy of Public Power's long-term power purchase agreement on their power plants. And when we got into those agreements, I realized that there was one paragraph that makes the entire utility world spin. And it's put in there by Wall Street. It says the utility can and will raise rates for debt service. Now, why that's important is, these power plants haven't had any debt retirement. All they're doing is paying the interest. Why are they paying the interest? To inoculate themselves against privatization. Because when I started talking about privatization back 10, 15 years ago, I went to the governor's mansion real quickly. My lobbyist, I bet you know him, Phil Young from Omaha. We had a meeting real fast at state capitol to talk about the debt. Because the reality of it is Nebraska Public Power is by default kind of a subdistrict of the state of Nebraska's political system. So if Public Power can't pay their bills, the state ratepayers have to pay them out. And that was basically what they told me. They said, if you go after Public Power, electricity rates in Nebraska will double because the ratepayers are going to have to continue to pay off the old debt, and they're going to have to pay for the debt on the new power generation that you're proposing. And I went, oh my God, Wall Street runs all these utilities. And that's why you see these boards, these public utility boards, rubber stamp rate increases, because they know they have to. They have been told you can have a good old hoedown at the state capitol and get AARP and all these people there to talk about how this rate increase is bad. But at the end of the day, the rate increase has got to happen.
So why was Ed Schultz in North Dakota all wound up about what you were doing?
Because he was a very, very, very far, far left progressive. And it basically came down to George Norris. That's it. We have to protect the legacy of George Norris at all costs. I mean, George Norris is the grandfather of the public power business model.
Mm-hmm.
It's about preserving that legacy of an antiquated dinosaur mindset. And, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, Fairbury had its own electricity generation. Wilbur had its own electricity generation. Beatrice had their own power generation.
They all did.
All did. We gave our sovereignty away in the name of socialism. So,
get this. It was about a year ago, I think, that Broken Bow had a fire in their own electric, because Broken Bow, the city, was separate from the Custer County Power District. They had a fire. Yep. Guess what they don't do anymore? The city is part of Custer Public Power. It just took them out of the mix. So then I want your take on, we know anybody who's put diesel or gas in their vehicle knows what fuel prices are doing. And hardly anybody else is talking about this, but in the last 30 days, we're now at 46 different oil refineries at some level of the oil processing infrastructure that have had explosions. Yesterday was Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tuesday was one in Louisiana. What's up with that?
One, you know, back to, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy, blatant conspiracy theorist, but one would have to wonder if it go back to COVID. It was the same way in COVID. You remember there was, what was it? The chicken plants. And I mean, there was, it seems like there's a mechanism at work behind the scenes. And, you know, Teresa and I talked about this when I was in Europe. We went out to dinner one night and we were talking about this, and I told her, I said, it would be, I hate to be the person that says it almost feels like they're trying to kill us. It almost feels like the system is just blatantly trying to make this such an unbelievably impossible battle to win. And this goes back to why I abruptly left my energy company, abruptly left my political super PAC when I got sick in 2018. I looked at this and I said, you can't put money at risk in volatility like this. Okay, when you trade stock, you base your decisions on the VIX. The VIX is the volatility index. We have a VIX on our economy. It's called the World Uncertainty Index. Go look at it. It's on my Facebook page. That chart went straight up. You cannot make money in an environment like this. And I know there's a lot of tough people out here in Nebraska. I'm tough. I'll figure it out. They're just going to cut your tail off one inch at a time until they own your soul. And back to the oil thing, the thing that really worries me more about the oil situation is I wouldn't mind if they tapped into the strategic oil reserve to benefit us as Americans, but they are selling the strategic oil reserve oil overseas. It's going to other countries because they've got to try to keep other countries from being mad at us.
Well, Miriam Adelson needs it to go to Israel. I'm just telling you.
You bet.
And for those that don't know her, she's really the money behind this new wing in the White House. It wasn't going to cost you and me anything, Gary. And now all of a sudden we've authorized, what, $50 billion for it?
Yep.
All right, but I know what you need. I do know what you need.
What's that?
3 o'clock Central Time today, Nebraska in Lincoln plays University of South Dakota, first game of the NCAA softball tournament. You need to be a part. You just need to go there and, you know, just immerse yourself in the softball game.
Wind down and enjoy a Friday afternoon. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, look, did you hear that there was earth trembling from one state line to the other yesterday? Supposedly the earth was shaking under Nebraska yesterday.
Really?
I'm telling you all I know. I need to go verify it, but that's what is out there.
You know, boy, I worry about sounding like a tinfoil hat guy, but now that you said that, I can't remember whether it was Monday night or Tuesday night. I was laying in bed, and I've been really, really sick ever since I got back. That airplane air just dries my sinuses out, and then I immediately just have to go get a Z-Pak. And I was laying in bed one of those nights, whichever one it was, and I remember feeling the bed jiggle. And I remember I just told myself, oh, you're just sick, and that's just your body shaking. But that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I stand corrected. I said yesterday, it was this week. I believe it was Monday.
I think that was...
And supposedly from Scott's Bluff to Omaha, there was earth movement.
Unbelievable.
We're down to the last minute, Gary. What's your profound wisdom for the day?
I want to live someplace where the food and the water doesn't kill me. That's it. At 56 years of age, that's my goal in life. Find a beautiful little woman in Portugal that thinks that I hung the moon. She actually thinks I'm funny because of my accent. That's why she dated me. She walked up to me at a conference and she loved my accent. My point is, I just want to go live in peace, eat good food, and enjoy life, because I think chasing the dollar is a thing of the past, my friend. I really do.
I actually think that's very profound, and that we all get lost, and that's not going to bring us what we need, chasing the dollar, but everything you just described. But my wife had just sent me a text correcting me once again. Gary, don't go to the game at 3:00. It's at 5:00.
Fair enough.
It's always a pleasure, and I don't think you have a conspiracy tinfoil hat at all. I think you just see the world and sharing your experiences and trying to get 99% of the people to wake up and pay attention. Thanks, Gary. We're going to go to dinner in Thayer County, Nebraska one day soon. We have successfully journeyed down the path, connecting food producers and food consumers. For Gary Axum and I'm Trent Lewis, both of us reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route in Thayer County, Nebraska.
National Western 2027. Check out the entries. DNA is coming up. I mean, it's going to happen here. If you want to be a participant, get more details on the website. I'm most interested in people, whether you bring cattle or not. There will be cattle. There will be livestock like you've never seen before. That's just what happens because the culture's right. But I want cattlemen to gather, and we talk about what the future of the beef industry looks like. So more details about what 2027 January is going to look like and how you can have some input into the future of the beef industry by going to the website nationalwestern.com. When we say we are the West, we live it. It's not just a slogan. You come and find out, and you talk to the people that show up like we did this year. nationalwestern.com. And I know, oh my goodness, I think I missed it. I was going to be in Denver when they distributed those Ketchikabs. I believe that already took place. I should go follow one of those kids. That's a great idea. NationalWestern.com.